Hello and welcome back to another episode of SharePoint Conference Television. My name is Caruana Gatima. I'm with Microsoft IT, and we are here on the conference floor powered by Channel 9, having some great conversations with people from the product groups, people from industry, and people who are working partners out there in the SharePoint space. And now I have one of those excellent experts with me. I love her. Her name is Jennifer Mason. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Coffee with Caruana.
Coffee. Gotta have coffee.
Very important. Well, you know, there's been a ton of conversation at this conference around the future of forms.
Yes.
I had a wonderful session yesterday with Corey Roth and two members of the product group, really laying it out. And I thought I understood it when I was done. And I think I still need some help.
All right.
I know this is your area of expertise.
Yes.
How long have you been in the SharePoint space?
Since early 2003. Wow. And I first started working in SharePoint 2001. My first project was an upgrade from 2001 to 2003. And all focused on business stuff. So working with the business to help them build out solutions. And I wasn't necessarily doing the migration. I was the one testing the solutions, seeing what works, and helping develop new solutions. So I've been there in the trenches since the beginning, I think.
I know, warrior princess, let me tell you. Well, it takes a tremendous amount of skill to talk to business about the capabilities of something as wide and deep as SharePoint. I mean,
it's so fun, though.
It is. I love it. That's always what I used to do, and it's really just exciting, the capabilities you have. InfoPath has always been a central part of what I consider the toolkit, right? And I'm sure you've thought that way for a long time.
Yeah, when InfoPath first came out, it provided a way for someone who wasn't as technical to be able to go in a Word or Excel type format and build out these great solutions and apply light business logic. It's not the same business logic that's going to get applied in a custom solution or that can get applied by a developer who just naturally thinks about things differently. But InfoPath provided this way for people to build out these different solutions and quickly get them deployed without having to involve a developer. So it was a pretty quick and easy solution. And when it first came out, it kind of revolutionized the way that the information worker could get things done. And it went through several iterations, and then we got the form web part and different things like that. And that's really the first time that we could start building apps, quote unquote, where people could, you know, go to a page and interact with all of this data. So it was quite a shocker to the world when it is no more.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I think I felt those ripples all the way up into Redmond, where I usually spend my time. But you know, the other part of that I really want people to understand is it's 10 years, right? It's 10 years of full-on support. So InfoPath isn't going anywhere today, you know, but you have a decision to make, right? Both with your existing solutions and if you're going to create a new one. So you do this every day. You're out there. What would you do in this situation?
So I think the first thing is to recognize that Microsoft is not saying forms aren't important, and they're not saying that having an information worker that doesn't need IT to build things isn't important. What they're saying is they don't necessarily think InfoPath is that right direction. And so then they're starting to look at different components of how they're doing things, and new features are going to be rolled out over time. Really awesome, because before, you know, we'd get a new version of InfoPath and they've spent 3 years working on it, and if I don't like something, I get to wait 3 more years before I could potentially get a fix.
That's a big piece, I think, of the entire future in this space, is that rapid iteration, being able to be more interactive with our customers in terms of what their requirements are and the scenarios and what they really need. I'm excited about that, because even waiting for the hot fix or waiting for the patch between server versions, you know, you're sitting there waiting. And so.
Yeah, and I've gone through, you know, the stages of grief. I've lost my best friend. InfoPath is no longer here. To be really excited about the future and what's coming. And so when I look at what's going on, I try to, from my perspective, understand that something is going to come along to do this. And I just need to, in the meantime, be able to do the best I can with the tools that I have available to me.
Right.
It's different. And one of the things that, you know, it's kind of lowering our expectations. Instead of getting a brand new release that's going to have all of these different bells and whistles, we're going to get little releases along the way with little things that are growing, that are going to continue to get built upon. So we have to kind of have that whole mind shift of, okay, now I have to think about things differently. And so in the meantime, I'm still going to have to use my tool set. So I think there's a couple scenarios. I've heard everything from, I'm going to continue to use SharePoint and InfoPath, and I'm never, ever going to upgrade ever again, and this is the last version of SharePoint I'm going to, you know, I'm never touching InfoPath again, and I'm going to get a custom developer for everything. So I think we need to get, you know, out of the two extremes and live somewhere in the middle where we can still use tools.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A little more, excuse me, a little more inclusive mindset
yes.
might be a really good idea.
Yes.
But I understand why people feel the way they do because
definitely.
They're so passionate about this area. They care very deeply.
Yes.
And they're still in the angry phase of grief, right? And they'll come along, right?
Yeah.
They'll definitely come along.
And I think it's people are upset because they're fearful of, I'm going to do all of this work and then I'm not going to be able to go and reuse it or something's going to happen. And so I think if we look at the different types of solutions, number one, it's all about the business. You can build the most awesome solution, but if your business isn't using it and it's not easy to use, it really doesn't matter and it's not a good solution.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, my users could care less if they're using a content type, a search query, or an InfoPath form. They just want to do what they want to do so they can go home and see their kids' soccer games and do all of that and then come back to work and work with the tools again. They don't want to have to care about all of that. So as we build it, we get attached to these tools because we get used to doing the same things. But when you think about it, I love InfoPath as much as I hate InfoPath. It's kind of the same thing about SharePoint Designer. It's this wonderful love-hate relationship. It empowers me to do some really awesome things, and then it also enables me to shoot myself in the foot.
Yeah, I know.
So it's kind of this balancing act and understanding it. So while we love it and miss it, like, we can be excited about the future because I think some of those ways that we can shoot ourselves in the foot are going to just naturally disappear and blend into other tools.
We hope so, right?
We hope that's
the future.
It's a little
less shooting at the foot, more
yes.
enabling business solutions.
Yes.
That would be a really good
yes.
thing. And it is true. You know, I'm just excited about the change to rapid iteration, being mm-hmm. able to be more interactive with the customers. And, you know, we know now about officeforms.uservoice.com,
yes.
which is unbelievable.
Yes,
it's a
huge.
Opportunity to go in, request a feature, people vote on it. It's a very modern scenario.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, the fact that Microsoft is shifting its mindset and methodology to work in that way.
Yes, and it's huge. And in the form session that Sonia and Greg gave this week, they really, you know, iterated, here's what we have planned, but we need to hear what the community has to say, too. So we can really go out there and do that. And so in the meantime, I mean, there's a couple of things that I'm going to look at every time I go to a new solution. So first I'm going to go out, I'm going to understand what the solution is going to be, understand the business problem we're trying to solve, and then there's a couple steps for it. Number one, go look in the App Store. Has somebody already built this? Because if somebody has already built this or it's already out there, I want to utilize what's there. So I'm going to start with that. If that doesn't work, I'm going to hop over to Access Services. Can I create an Access app that's going to allow me to do what I need within the constraints of Access right now? So there's still some things within Access, and you can't do table-level security. You can't kick off workflows. You can't do those things. So not every scenario is going to fall in that bucket. So if I can't do it in Access, I'm going to look at it and say, okay, can I get there with just, you know, SharePoint list and connected, you know, connected list and stuff like that? And if I can't, okay, InfoPath form. All right. If it's going to take me a day to build an InfoPath form versus a developer 2 days or 3 days or even gathering the requirements and doing the testing, I'm going to just build my InfoPath form.
Right.
You know, if you kind of listen to the roadmap, they had a 3-month, 6-month, 1-year cadence. How many forms do you even build right now that in a year haven't totally changed anyway?
Exactly.
So, and the ones that haven't totally changed, they're probably pretty straightforward that they're going to be easy enough to update. So I'm going to stay in that InfoPath area, do things like that. There are some SharePoint list customizations that just are powerful to the users that take a couple of minutes to make. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't there, the solution still works. So at the end of the day, I'm going to just make them. And as new features are available, I can, you know, switch to doing it the new way.
Exactly.
So it's going to be using it wisely. It's kind of, I tell people when I'm talking to them, you can tell in your gut if you're doing something extremely complex.
Yes.
If you're going out of your way and you have to do all of this complex work to get things working inside of InfoPath and in your form and all of that, then I think that is now the tipping point that you look at it and say, okay, this level of investment that I'm putting into it, is it going to be worth it? Because usually the more complex solutions and the greater things we're trying to build, those are the ones that are going to last longer or be around longer. And so at that point, I wouldn't say I'm not going to do it at InfoPath. I would say I'm going to pull in a developer who's got a different set of tools than I have and discuss it with them and say, okay, here's where I'm going, here's the approach I'm taking. What's going to be the best move for the business? Do we make this investment still using InfoPath, knowing it's going to be supported? Do we go with custom development? Because custom development has its own, you know, you're trading off one set of issues for another.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, I think that you're really highlighting the fact that, you know, you have to have, not only, as you said, mm-hmm. wisdom when using these tools, but understand the depth and complexity.
Yes.
And, you know, that goes back to the class build versus buy scenario. And I used to always tell people, use what's out of the box,
yes.
then find an off-the-shelf app, then think about building things. And it's essentially what you're saying.
Yeah.
So really, things haven't changed, but we're applying that logic to a new scenario,
yes.
given
yes.
what's going on with InfoPath, right? That makes a lot of sense.
I think it's okay to use, like, if you've looked at the other options that are available, and if InfoPath is the only tool right now, use it, but use it with your eyes open and wisely. Don't
right.
invest a ton into building this uber complex solution that you expect to be around for years. Now, if you're in Office 365 and the features are going to be rolling out continuously, the pendulum of what do I do and the options that you have are going to be constantly changing and evolving, which is awesome.
Right.
And so it's going to just be looking at, here, you know, here's my entire set of tools. What do I need to build and what tool do I need to do that?
And, you know, I mean, I think that folks like you and I think that the ever-changing and ever-updating world mm-hmm. of Office 365 is wonderful. However, I also know there's a different kind of overhead for that now, right?
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit better about your priorities and your backlog of features and things like that. Are you teaching people that now to some extent, or do you do that for them really?
Well, a lot of it's about flexibility.
Mm.
And what I see with what I see happening with Office 365 and the changing features and the fast and the whatever, you know, it's just this whole mindset of, okay, let me get something quick and then keep adding to it and keep going. What do I need today to do my job? And so whereas before you could spend months and months and months building out these complex SharePoint solutions with templates and very structured and stuff like that, now it's more of, okay, quick and easy, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's get something up, let's start doing it. And so it's just a different mindset, but it's still at the end of the day, if I use a list, a library, if I use an access app, who cares if it's solving the solution at low cost and minimal effort? And so it's pulling together all of those pieces, and until the full tool set is there, we're going to just kind of have to make the most of what we can do. But I don't have any fears about using InfoPath. So I continue to use it. I work internal at my organization now. I help them do their internal environments, and so I kind of consult on some of their projects, and we probably have two or three big intake forms and different things like that where we've built solutions based off of InfoPath, and knowing that, you know, InfoPath's not going to be there, but also knowing I could get a developer to do it, but then every time we needed a change, we'd have to get a developer, or we can get something that's going to have an immediate impact to the business. And
right.
so it's all about, you know, cost benefit and what are we trying to do and what are we trying to solve for, and then getting the right tools and the right people involved. And one thing that's really important to me is I live in a world of no syntax and semicolons. I kind of pretend it doesn't exist because I want to build like uber simple solutions that can impact the business immediately. But I need to know that when I step out of that realm, I need to pull in other people that live in that realm so that we can work together to get the best solution. So if I reach a limit of what I can do with the syntax and semicolons, I don't then have to decide what are we going to do. I then reach out to others who kind of have that breadth of information and say, okay, in this scenario, help me figure out how to best solve it.
And then you're a business solution architect, and you happen to be able to implement solutions.
Right.
And if it's beyond that, then you go and you
right.
get other teams who do. You know, that's wonderful. And I also think that role that you're playing there, I would call it a business solution architect. That's what I've always called it. I think a lot of people call it a lot of different things.
It's one of those, it can mean anything to anybody.
I know, right. Exactly, exactly. And it's different than being a SharePoint architect. Like
right.
when I hear that and when I think of that person, that's a different job mm-hmm. than the job you have. They're both
right.
super important. Do you think now that decision tree is as clear in the development community as you've just articulated it?
That's a wonderful question. I wouldn't think that anything is clear right now. And it's not bad. I think there's a big sense of excitement, and everyone is super excited about what's coming. Mm-hmm. But as we get to that point of Microsoft changing, so now at the last SharePoint conference, we got all these announcements about Microsoft was going to change, and it was going to be this brand new world. Now we're starting to see that. And now that they're positioned to bring us into that brand new world, now they're starting to behave differently. Mm-hmm. And now we're adjusting to that. So I think right now, we kind of have to make those paths. And I think it's we have to be as flexible with them when we go to them and say, okay, what is this solution? Because at the same time that we're now looking at this whole breadth of tools to use, they have the same thing. So now we're taking them a problem, and they have to look at it and say, you know, do I build an app? Do I build a... And they have to go through those same things. And so their tool set is widening as much as our tool set is widening. So the most important thing is focus on the business, understand them, and then pull together the right tool that makes the most sense. And there's a lot to be said about that. Just because I need a new pocketbook doesn't mean that I get to go to Michael Kors and buy one.
Right.
I may have to go to Target and get a bag every
exactly.
once in a while, you know?
Exactly.
My husband thinks that.
Yeah.
I walked by yesterday and
I
saw one.
I Michael Kors
yeah.
opinion. I don't know
yeah.
about that. But
I walked by one. He's like, you can't get that. No.
Yeah. My husband would have agreed.
Yeah. So it's they're both awesome.
Yeah.
They might both be great purses, right. but there's different trade-offs for each thing. So it's all about understanding, but at the end of the day, it's about solving the business problems, because that's the only way people are going to adapt to our solutions, and the only way that we're going to really be able to transform the way people work is if we can give them working solutions.
Yeah, working solutions in time for it to actually move their business forward,
yeah.
and that we can iterate. Because I also think that one of the reasons that requirements gathering is so difficult is people have to see it and work with it to really
yeah.
understand. Is that the case with you?
Yeah, and usually when I have to sit down with people and talk to them, we end up having conversations, and then once I kind of understand their culture, we go about it a couple of different ways. We either do mock-ups on a whiteboard, we do mock-ups in a tool like Balsamiq, or sometimes we actually go to SharePoint and have to build a quick prototype so they can get their hands on it and see it and touch it.
Yes.
And so a lot of it's going to depend on the people that you're working with, but it's all of those are perfectly fine. I like to say about SharePoint, there's like a million different ways to do things, and hardly any of them are right or wrong. They're just different ways, and so we have to adapt. When you work with, and there's nothing wrong with any, I mean, this is what makes the world go around, but when you work with legal versus marketing, those are two totally different mindsets. They act different, they think different, they focus on different things. So you might have to approach things differently for them. And what we're seeing now is what we can do with SharePoint out of the box, whereas, you know, maybe in previous versions, we could get them 70% of what they needed right away. We can get them 80 or 90% of what they need right away. How important is that last 10%?
Right.
Versus, you know, do we go the extra mile and get that with custom development? Do we kind of wait and take this iterative approach? Do we
right.
know, give them what
but
we can? And
absolutely. But, you know, and that you just brought up a really important point. Sometimes the 85 to 95% really is enough. And
right.
and you don't necessarily want to be engineering for those edge cases of, you know, when the wind is blowing and, you know, the snow is happening
yes.
and
yes.
then the earthquake comes, that's what you're going to have to do at the form, right?
Right.
You really have to engineer for that. And
right.
sometimes people want to. And, you know, my advice has always been, let's get the 80% first and see if you still need that.
Right.
So iterate.
In most cases, when I'm building a form, it's going to fall on that 80%.
Right.
I have a simple, I need an HR request form. I need to gather information from the rest of the org so we can take and do something with it.
Right.
For the time being, if it's not going to be, you know, easily done in any of the other tools that are that I know are going to be the future, like I know Access Apps are going to be the future for some of the things that we do.
Yes.
I know SharePoint lists are going to continue to be the future. But if I can't do what I need to do in what's currently there, but I can do it easily within Scope and InfoPath, I'm going to continue to use InfoPath and then go out. But if I have a solution that I know is going to impact the business, it's going to have to be scalable, it's going to be repeatable, and I know it's going to get used a million times, then I'm going to probably talk to a developer immediately because I know that the tool's going out. So a lot of it's about scale and scope and different things along those lines.
You brought up so many great points, and I'm excited about this. There's going to be more conversations
yeah.
happening. And you actually wrote two articles for
yes.
CMS Wire about this, didn't you?
Yeah, right when the blog post came out of there's going to be no more InfoPath, I kind of took a step back, had a moment of fear and sadness, and then thought, okay, what am I going to do?
Right.
Reading through the lines, what did they say in the blog post? And their answer was, keep using InfoPath.
That's right.
And so I'm like, So I wrote an article about when does it make sense to use InfoPath? And I kind of talked through the scenarios of how scalable is this solution? How repeatable is it? What's the lifespan of the solution?
Right.
If I'm not going to get a new tool for a year, and the form is going to last 3 months,
right.
who cares?
Yeah.
Build it in InfoPath and be done.
Right, exactly.
So kind of looking at those different scenarios. And then after the session that Sonia and Greg gave at the conference this week, I wrote another article kind of doing a summary of where they were going with the roadmap from that IW perspective. And the IW perspective of no semicolons, no syntax. This is the world that I live in.
Right,
so
exactly.
So kind of speaking to that. And
right.
100% honesty here, I'm excited about it. I am thrilled to death about it. Love what I could do with InfoPath, mm-hmm. but so excited about the future of what could be coming
yeah.
and excited about the opportunity to go to the user voice site and actually, you know, give my opinions and get, you know, get to vote on what other people do and give that feedback directly to Microsoft.
That's it.
So
yeah.
we're going to get to have a voice in whatever the new feature set looks like.
It's very important. It's
yes.
very important that people take advantage of the opportunity to tell us what
yes.
is important about what you're doing with our product. And, you know, that's like someone inviting you into their home. Please come to my home, sit down, let's have a conversation, let's have dinner, break some bread, and then we can
yeah.
understand better how to get along with each other.
In 2 years, if anyone is complaining to me about the tools that are out there, my answer is going to be, did you go to this site and put in information? Did
That's
you
right.
participate in this? Did you have you done all of this? Because if you haven't, you don't get to complain about, well, I mean, you will complain, but you don't get
yeah,
to complain
you don't get to, but you will,
about
right.
that
right.
end path
it's
because
like
they're
voting.
Listening
it's
to
the
us.
It's the same
yes.
thing, right?
Yes.
No, I completely agree with that. Well, we're going to have links in the description when
awesome.
Your session goes live to your CMS Wire articles. And it's really important that people go out there and take advantage
yes.
of your expertise in this area. You've been doing this yeah. a really long time. Your bright mind. You get the opportunity to really help people, you know, navigate the changes
yeah.
because I think all of us, you know, need to do that. So I'm so glad that you joined us today,
Jennifer. I'm glad it was great.
Thank
great
you.
Doing this.
Thank you.
Ma'am.
No, this is so much fun. That was another segment of SharePoint Conference Television. Really exciting features that are happening here. People are lucky to have someone like Jennifer to guide them along in this. But she's definitely right. If you haven't been out to officeforms.uservoice.com to vote on the features and put in yours for the future of forms, please do that today. This session will be live on Channel 9 shortly, and you'll be able to find Jennifer's blog at jenniferannmason.com and the links to more information about her. You can follow her on Twitter at Jennifer Mason. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kara Wanagatimu. This is the SharePoint Conference Television powered by Channel 9. Thanks.